Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, don't worry about me, I called ART.
Traffic. I-235 South heading onto K-96 East. It's jammed up starting at 37th Street. Also, watch for construction delays on Southeast Boulevard northbound at 31st Street with a backup to the I-35 overpass. From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, that's your Odyssey Wichita traffic.
Weather. Good morning. After a bumpy Thursday evening, we get a fantastic Friday. Lots of sunshine, lighter winds from the east, 10 to 15, and a high of 77. Clouds return tonight, 53 is the low, and then here we go again. Showers and storms are likely both Saturday afternoon and Sunday afternoon, and those could be severe. Otherwise, a warm weekend with highs in the mid-70s on Saturday and near 80 on Sunday. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Right now, the Dan Patrick Show.
Dan Patrick.
I don't think Joker wins another MVP. And it's not because he's not deserving. He's just not going to win it. And Wemby is on the way. Because I would be surprised if Wemby is not the favorite next year to win the MVP. Felt like it might be a little too early this year. He did miss games earlier in the season. He's wonderful to watch. We're lucky to be treated to some... These players, young players, now Joker's not young, but he's still doing things that nobody's ever done. Like when you hear that in any sport, when you go, well, nobody's ever done that. Okay, you got my attention. And I understand this because we do want a new topic. You know, the NBA writers are no different than me or you as a fan where you go, you know, we need a new story here.
The Dan Patrick Show.
Dan and the Danettes and you.
Middays from 11 until 2 on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Wichita's most listened to sports radio.
I scream along at the top of my lungs.
It's a way to release my rage.
Yeah! Chill, dude.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Oh, okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And that insider is Jalen Thompson. Glad to have Jalen in with us on a Friday, a usual stop by. We had a day off to reflect on things, Jalen. How you feeling today? You know, every week we keep asking you about the panic meter. And every week there keeps being a little bit more to panic about, probably. We're talking yesterday, and let me start here, actually. Are you encouraged offensively by what you saw in the final two games of the Baltimore series?
I would say, Jacob, I think there were positive signs. There were positive signs. You saw some good swings out of guys. Carter Jensen continues to be the best hitter on this team right now. And the 6 home runs, the 14 RBIs, I think that's what he has. He has a little bit more. It's really good, really good for a guy that came up in last September and, you know, has really hit the ball well in his first like 30 something games in the majors. It's really impressive. I would say as far as the rest of the offense, it's a work in progress. And I wrote a story on the Kansas City Star. Go check that out if you haven't. Just evaluating the good, the bad, the ugly of the first 25 games. And right now, I think there are signs that they're getting out of it. Like, I like what Michael Massey's doing. I like what Vinny Pasquantino is doing, getting back his swing. The power is kind of showing up in certain stretches, but it's a long way to go. And if you are happy about where the Royals are doing right now, then you might need to go and reevaluate that because it isn't good right now.
It's not. It's not. Okay, so let me follow it up with this then, Jalen. nobody's happy with the way that the season has started. The good news for the Royals is in the American League, everybody's right around 500 right now. Mm-hmm. So that makes it a little easier. Like, you know, the Mets and the Phillies have to sit there and watch Atlanta running away with the division early. That's tough. The Royals don't have that. They're only 5.5 back of Cleveland, which is basically 5.5 back of everybody in the American League, except the Yankees. So when you think about it that way, and you think about what do we think it's going to take, 86, 87, 88 wins to make the playoffs, just some real brief calculations, if they're 9 games under now, from April 24th on, the Royals are going to have to be about 15 games better than 500 if they want to reach the postseason. Is this a team over that stretch of time you feel like can play that level of baseball?
I will say yes, but with two caveats here. The first caveat is you need your star players, and we say this every week. Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny Pasquantino, Salvador Perez have to play to their capability. If they do that, then they can definitely rattle off some wins. Let's not forget, last year they had a similar streak where they were terrible. Then they rattled off 16 of 18 games. And they got back into, the ship was kind of righted a little bit. This team has to do something similar. And to be honest with you, like you said, the American League has not ran away from them yet. They're still in the race. If we were running a 400 right now, they are in well back of the pack, right? But there's still time to catch up on the back leg of the season. So they just have to speed up and get back into contention. But I think that if you don't have your top guys hitting and that bullpen, you've seen there's not really a lot of help coming from them. They're gonna have to use that offense to overcome those warts of that bullpen and with a little bit of that starting rotation to be better.
Paul Savage here. Thanks for joining the show. We really appreciate it. You bring great insight with the Kansas City Royals. Vinny Pasquantino, I find very interesting. It's an interesting subject for this point, at this point of the year with the Royals, batting 160. How important is for him to get, you know, into the swing of things and get his average and get his RBIs and get his leadership and get his bat going to a place where the Royals, you know, can swing off of eight wins for the whole year and start upticking that and get the Royals to a place where, who knows, maybe they can, you know, compete for a wild card when the chips are down.
Hey, Paul, good to hear from you. Good to chat with you. And you're absolutely right. I think Vinny Pasquantino has to tap into his Pasquatch powers and get this thing going right again. And I think he will. I think you're seeing better swings out of him these last couple of games. I think the home runs are going to start to come. And if you look at the calendar, where are we at? April 24th. I think he's starting to get into his routine. You know, he always struggles in April. He always struggles. It's just not his month. Well, we're about to get into May. And I think if we get into May, you'll see Vinny Pasquantino start to, you know, stretch out a little bit and start to roam freely in these baseball pastures as the Pasquatch, which everyone would love to see because the Royals need it right now. If Vinny can get to where he can be the guy that prepares and provides that power, then maybe he can hold the line until Bobby Witt Jr. gets back into the form that we know we've seen him. And maybe he can hold the line until Salvador Perez kind of performs better with runners in scoring position. And maybe he can hold the line until you get more consistency from guys like Jack Caglione and Michael Garcia and Lane Thomas and the like, because they have to have those guys perform at a peak level if they're going to make a run and flip this thing around.
Jalen Thompson joining us, KC Star, our Royals insider. Glad to have Jalen's insight here. You mentioned the bullpen, Jalen. Let's go there. Listen, it's going to be a problem. We knew that, though, when Carlos Estevez went down. We knew it was going to be a little bit of a problem. So Lucas Ursig's had a couple of kind of blow-up performances, but his stuff looks good. When he struggled last year, his stuff didn't look great. His stuff has looked pretty good. His control's been a little off. Strom has not been as effective as they'd hoped. Daniel Lynch has been. How long do you think it takes before Lynch moves out of... They have him in a high-value position now because he can give him multiple innings. But at some point, does Lynch have to become one of the high-leverage, very late-game options for this team?
You know, I don't know about that, Jacob, because if you do that, do you risk over-exposing him?
I know. And you risk losing your guy that can give you one plus in those spots where you need him. But I got to tell you, man, how are you getting to Urcig right now?
That's the thing. The only way that the Royals are going to get to Urcig is you got to have your starters go seven innings, which puts a lot of pressure on them.
But they Strom hasn't been. I mean, you good with Strom in the eighth?
I mean, he had that one bad outing, yes, but he did come in and got three straight consecutive strikeouts that won those games last week. So, I mean, I'm okay with him there. You know what the Royals really need? They need someone that can throw 100 miles per hour to be in the bullpen. They really do. They have
Urcig. They need, you know what they need, I think, Jalen? They need Estevez back. They need healthy Estevez back just to be an option back there. I mean, I'm looking at Strom. Strom's ERA is ballooned up to 5.19. I mean, like half of his appearances, he's allowed a run. I don't know. Like, I'm with you. They need a flamethrower, but you ain't going to find a flamethrower back there now.
They have one.
Who?
In AA, his name is Dennis Colleran Jr. He throws 100 miles per hour, but they don't seem like they don't want to bring him up. I mean, was if you watch spring training, that dude was blowing people away. Like he has the they have a guy. I just don't know. Maybe he's too young because they don't want to bring him up and expose him to this bullpen right now, which I understand. But that guy has heat. He's throwing 100. He's pumping 100.
Okay.
And he has a high leg kick.
Jalen, we have you in to get real good evaluations of AA relievers in the Royals farm system. That's good stuff. But they're going to have something. It's a collection of everything because and the starting rotation's been really good. But as we mentioned a lot in the offseason, can we really expect them to you know, go seven innings with two or less runs every, like Michael Wacha wasn't terrible the other night. He gave up that bloop single that kind of messed up his line.
But yeah.
You're going to have to win games where your starter is like that.
Exactly. It's almost like since we're in NFL draft mode, I will use an NFL terminology here. We have three phases of this game and the bullpen, the offense and the starting rotation are three of those phases, right? Only one of them is really clicking right now. And if you're in the NFL and you only have your offense and clicking and your defense and special teams is not, you're not going to win games. So the Royals have to figure out how can we get our bullpen and our offense going to sustain when our starting pitching does not have it. And it's cool. Before Michael Wacha's last start, you looked at the top starters in the majors. It was Seth Lugo and Michael Wacha. They were in the top four in ERA. And you were 8-16. That's where you were at. So now Wacha had a bad game. Offense didn't pick him up. They're 8-17. They have to figure out a way to score more than two runs a game. Yes, they did the last two games against the Orioles. And that's a good start. But do that against the Angels this weekend. Go to Sacramento and do it against the Athletics and do it against Seattle next week. Then maybe if you finish April, let's say, with six wins of the next nine, do you feel good about the Royals?
I do. But they got to do it. And honestly, let's look to this weekend series and really the next six games because of what looms after that, Jalen, there feels like there should be, and I hope that there is a ton of pressure on what's coming in the next six, because after the next six, here we go again. in that American League where there just aren't going to be a lot of opportunities for games that, you know, that aren't tough. You get the Angels and the A's, then you go to Seattle, and then you get 7 against Cleveland and Detroit. 10 of your next games after these next 6 are against playoff teams. So the next 6, to your point, they have 6. What did you just say? They got to win
6 out of 9.
6 out of, so you're including the Seattle series.
Yeah, I'm including Seattle too.
So what is it in the next 6? 4 out of 6.
You don't have to. You have to.
Really? You gotta finish the year 15 games better than 500.
Yeah. Honestly, you need to finish this month with, you probably need to win all these games. Sweep the next 2 series, and then you start going into May where you're back in it. If you sweep the next 2 series, that's 6 wins, right? So now you're at 14. You're 14-17. Do you feel good about the Royals then? I think you might.
Yeah, you'd feel okay then. Yeah, you feel okay. Here's maybe we're overthinking all of this. Don't you just feel okay about the Royals if they're playing better? I mean, that's been the elephant. Yeah, like, we can break it down and you know, fine-tooth comb it all, but at the end of the day, they just haven't played good yet.
They haven't. They haven't had a complete game, and they will tell you that. They will tell you that they've probably only had 2 complete games the whole year. 2 of them. But here's the thing, though. If you look at the Angels, and the Angels are a really strong offensive team, you're not going to face Soriano, who has a 0.24 ERA. You're gonna skip him. So you can probably maybe win that series. Just don't hit to Joe Adell in the outfield because he'll steal it. But Mike Trout's going to be good. And it's Sunday Night Baseball. You can't get embarrassed on Sunday Night Baseball. The first time you had it at Kauffman Stadium in 10 years, you cannot get embarrassed on Sunday. You just can't. On national TV, you can't get embarrassed.
No. No, you cannot.
Well, let me get a quick question. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me go ahead and get a quick question in. I want to talk just a minute about the American League because I'm very curious. I mean, I know we're only in April, but once we get into, say, let's say September – who's the cream of the American League as you see it right now? You've got about 6-7 teams right now that could easily be the representative in the World Series. I mean, but is it the Yankees? I mean, they appear to be, you know, about a half a head and shoulders above everybody else. But who do you like right now, being one or two of those guys towards the end of September, once this league starts going down to where are we and before we head into the playoffs?
I would have to say you're absolutely right, Paul. The Yankees are the team in the American League. And I say that because I've seen, just being in New York last week, watching them play, that lineup gets rolling. I mean, you're talking about guys like Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Ben Rice, Jazz Chisholm, Cody Bellinger. And then they have a guy like Amed Rosario's on that team. And it's just, they just have guys that just, they can keep rolling out there. And then they're starting pitching. The Royals didn't even see Max Fried, but then you saw Cam Schlittler. You saw him. He's an emerging star. They have just Will Warren was pitching well against the Royals. They have a team and they have a stadium where it is a real clear advantage every time you play at Yankee Stadium against the Yankees, because they can just hit the ball at the ballpark. And they do it with really relative ease. So I think the Yankees are a team that probably is the best in top class of the American League. And they should be. They spend the most money. They should be one of the top classes of the league. But I will also say I would not sleep on Detroit, because Detroit also has a good team. They still have Skubal. Now, if they trade Skubal at the deadline, I would take them out of the mix. But because they have Skubal, they have Framber Valdez, they have Jack Flaherty, they have Justin Verlander, they have the pitching, right? So I would say Detroit is probably the next, right behind the Yankees. But a team that I would not sleep on, and the Royals are going to see them next week, I would not sleep on the Athletics. The Athletics were an emerging team last year. They're young, they're fun. And if they get rolling this summer with the guys they have out there, Nick Kurtz, Lawrence Butler, Denzel Clark, naming just these young guys that can really play and really take it to the next level, I wouldn't be surprised if they're a wild card team.
Yeah, they got some dudes. I like Seattle too. Jalen,
yeah,
real quick, it's NFL draft season. You a Falcons guy?
I am a Falcons guy.
That's what I thought. You from that region. No first round picks. I mean, yeah. What a bummer. How lame is that?
You know what though? I don't think it was bad for them this year though. Because a lot of the guys that didn't get picked in the first round, they're at the top of the board. Okay. And it's only 18 picks to 48 or 15 picks to 48.
That's a long way to go. You can sugarcoat it however you want.
Yeah, no.
You guys don't even have a quarterback right now.
You're right. We don't have a quarterback. I mean, yeah. You're right.
I don't even know who the third best quarterback in this draft is. Maybe you can find them. Maybe Penix will be okay.
Carson Beck, maybe?
What's that?
Is that the guy? Carson Beck?
Yeah. Good luck.
Good. You're being awful tough on him, Jacob. Come on now. Ease off a little bit.
You know, he's got the Georgia ties and all that. So,
I do. It's fair.
All right.
The Falcons have not won a playoff game since 2017.
It's been a minute. It's been a minute. All right. Jalen, we appreciate it. We'll follow along all your coverage at the KC Star, at Jalen Thompson on X. I kind of think we saw something at the end of that Baltimore series, at least with the offense. I got to put it together, but they got an opportunity to win some games this weekend at home. Let's see if they can do it.
I think so. And we don't have to talk about a stadium anymore. They take that.
The stadium is happening. We'll get your thoughts on that at some point down the road when the sky is not falling. Jalen, we appreciate it.
All right, thank you guys so much.
There goes Jalen Thompson, our Royals insider. We'll come back. We'll go back to the NFL draft. We'll return on Sports Daily.
This is Sports Radio KFH.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic. It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.